You can experience Jesus, and when you do, you experience real life.
Previously on Experiencing Real Life.
Definition as to what you need to do. So what are you talking about? Well, there are moments, there are events that stop old things and they begin new things. And when you enter into a time, you have to release the old and you have to embrace the new. And if not, then your timing is off. So what'll happen is something will come into your life and now you're gonna have to switch. Something that gains your attention.
Welcome to Experiencing Real Life with founder and senior pastor of Open Door Church, Troy Brewer. Open Door Church is a non-denominational international ministry located at 301 South Dobson Street in Burleson, Texas, in the southern part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You can find us on the web at opendoorexperience.com. And now, here's Pastor Troy.
Well, all right, everybody. Blessing and peace on you. Hello, my friends, and welcome to this week's podcast that you can find exclusively at troybrewer.com with a whole bunch of other cool stuff, or unless, of course, you happen to be fortunate enough, blessed enough to be driving down the road on a Friday, which is when we tend to air these on Experiencing Real Life. Hello, everybody. I'm Troy Brewer, and I'm in the studios here at Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas, and I'm in here with my very good friend, Brother Andrew. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hi, I'm doing terrific. Excellent, in fact.
The marketing chef is with me today. You know,
we're going to cook up something today, aren't we?
We are.
Stir up people's thinking.
And I like that.
Sharpen.
I do. I like that. You know, we actually, you and I became friends this last year.
Yes.
And our good friend Byron Easterling hooked us up together. And you're called the marketing chef. Right? And people can find you at themarketingchef.com.
Correct.
Right? And why in the world would a pastor and a guy who is trying to save girls out of sex trafficking, a guy that is trying to publish the word of God to people and demonstrate the heart of Jesus, why in the world would a guy like me hook up with a guy like you that is a marketing guy?
Maybe I should be asking you that question. Well, you know, as you know, I'm, at heart, I'm a strategist.
Yes.
Strategy is figuring out what are the right things to do.
Yes.
And before diving into tactical things, one needs to have a strategy.
Yes.
Because ultimately, yes, you want to do the right things right. And I believe, strongly believe, the heart of marketing is really communications, and for communications to become simply irresistible. It's like food, and the metaphor that I use is the marketing chef, which is food-related, obviously, and it's a fun metaphor. The metaphors are endless, actually, when I speak on marketing. But if you think of it, everybody has a favorite food, something that is simply irresistible, and they go, oh, I have to have it.
Yes.
Well, shouldn't our message?
Exactly.
Our communications be communicated in a way that it's simply irresistible, where people go, wow, I have to have this, or I want to find out more about it.
Okay, so you nailed it. And for me, man, being a preacher and being somebody that is a kingdom person, you know, to me, there's two different ways. I when it comes to the right way and the wrong way to try and spread the gospel, I think of display is the wrong way and demonstrating is the right way. And that's why marketing comes into play for me, because when it comes to demonstration or something, you have to strategize on this is how we're going to demonstrate the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because look, I'm not a resident of, you know, Texas trying to get to heaven. I'm a resident of heaven who lives in Texas, and I don't want to just fall back on my culture and my whatever. I want to actually, wait, does this look like Jesus? Does that sound like Jesus? And are we doing it in a way that demonstrates the heart of Jesus, as opposed to a holy museum where, you know, we don't look like Jesus, we don't sound like Jesus, but we have things propped up and we say, this is how awesome God used to be, this is how awesome God is going to be someday, and we have no responsibility in living those lives or demonstrating at all, just as long as our displays are awesome. That's baloney. As body of Christ people and as kingdom people, we need to constantly talk about the language we use, what is our quote-unquote market, and how do we go after those people?
That's a key point, and that's about being relevant.
Come on.
I mean, even if you look at how Paul, in his various writings, he didn't address each of those churches, whether it's in Ephesus or Colossians. Yeah. It was different because the needs were different. So he was relevant and persuasive.
That's right.
In a different way with the message. It's still the same message. The underlying fundamentals remain the same, but how he specifically communicated the gospel to a particular audience to make it relevant. He knew who his target audience was and therefore communicated in a way that was relevant, persuasive, and ultimately compelling.
Okay, the reason why we don't do that is because we think our methods are God. Okay, yes. So we'll have a method that'll work in one generation, and then we're like, and God moves in it. So we're totally convinced that the method is God. And then when God starts, you know, and then as soon as we start needing a different method to reach a new generation or whatever, we go, no, we can't do that because God has been over here in this other place. So again, what we start doing is we just start setting up displays of how God used to move instead of demonstrating how God is moving because we're not effective communicators.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that again comes back to being relevant. And so that starts with knowing who your target audience is. What is their needs? What are they thinking? What are the issues that they're facing? I mean, and the issues that a millennial faces is different to a baby boomer or different to Generation X. Just as in the same way, the issues facing that were in Rome when he was preaching in Rome
That's right.
is different to
That's
when
right.
he was in Ephesus.
Yes.
So you have to be relevant. So you have to start, know who your target audience and know what their needs are. And then deliver a message that's going to be aligned to that need. So you have to be flexible. Blessed are the flexible.
Blessed are the flexible. That's what we say before every mission trip is blessed are the flexible. Well, actually, what we're talking about now is our willingness to serve people.
Yes.
Okay? And the power of God is always, well, the power of God always shows up in the context of serving. It's something I'm hardcore about. Listen, if you serve people correctly, if you serve them in the name of Jesus and you serve them the way that Jesus would serve them, the power of God shows up.
Exactly. I mean, that's how Jesus did as well. I mean,
that's right.
He was relevant in a different way to the woman at the well.
That's right.
Than the blind man at the gate.
Yes.
So, and even to his disciples too. And even there was differences among his disciples. So he had to be relevant to each of them in a different way. So how he communicated to Peter was perhaps different to how he communicated to John.
Exactly. Okay, and check this out. How God talked to Peter at one time in his life was probably completely different than how he talked to him at another time within his life.
Exactly.
Right on?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have four biological kids, and I have about 1,700 kids who call me Papa all over the world. But, you know, number one, I don't speak to all my kids exactly the same way, even though I give them the same word, which is I love you.
Yes.
You know, there's a way that I can tell Ben that I love him that I can't tell Luke that. And there's a way I can tell Luke, you know, that I love him that I can't tell Megan or I can't tell Rhema that. But more than that, whenever Ben was a little boy, I used to sit him up in my lap and go, your daddy loves you. Your daddy loves you. Okay. Well, he's a grown man now, and I don't talk to him like that. The word is the same, but I serve him differently because he's different.
Exactly. The way we communicate. And it's the same in marketing. You have to be, if you have different audiences, subsegments of that audience, you've got to be relevant in each of those ways. You talk to them in different ways.
Well, Andrew, I only have about 30 seconds left here before the first break. And I want to tell you, whenever we come back from this break, let's talk about how do we serve God in different venues, right on?
Okay.
And let's talk about the power of communication in the midst of all that. My friends, you're listening to Troy Brewer and Andrew Szabo, who is the marketing chef on Experiencing Real Life. I'll be right back with you right after this short break.
You've been listening to Pastor Troy from Open Door Church. Pastor Troy would like to personally invite you out to visit him at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. You can also watch our services live at opendoorexperience.com. Now, let's get back to Pastor Troy as he continues to preach the Word of God.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. We're actually doing a podcast here today that we like to upload all of our podcasts at troybrewer.com. And there's some cool stuff on troybrewer.com. And you can actually sign up to receive my daily devotional every single day. It's absolutely free. You can do that at troybrewer.com. You can also listen to this podcast and many others with some really fun people. And then you can also sign up for exclusive content that we send out in video form every single Thursday. I'm here in the studio with my good friend, Andrew Szabo. Now, am I saying your name right? It's Szabo, right?
The Z is silent.
I always do say the Z, and I'm sorry about that. So just Szabo.
I forgive you.
Okay, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It's Hungarian.
It is, and it's a cool name, too. I know that it actually means tailor, right?
Exactly, yes.
And I know that in one part of the world, it means the pigs are loose in the kitchen. I don't know if you... I don't know if you've ever heard
I've never heard that one. That's new.
Well, You are the marketing chef, and we're actually talking about the power of communication. And one of the things, okay, so I have ADD really bad. I used to have ADHD, but I'm kind of old now, and I'm too old for the age. Yeah. I'm a type of guy that I'm involved in tons and tons and tons of different things. I have a big personality, and I like being involved in lots of things. I'm the senior pastor of a church. I'm a church leader. I'm a church builder. I of course preach. I write books. I do radio. I do TV. I have orphanages all over the world. I love saving girls out of sexual trafficking, and I could go on and on and on and on and on. And what's real is, I bring the same word to every venue, but I don't present. Listen, there's a way you preach in prison that you do not preach from the pulpit at Open Door Church. There's a way you preach on the streets that you do not preach at Open Door Church. And just, to me, it's all about a willingness to serve people in their capacity. Actually, I love the way that Paul puts it. Paul says, I have become all things to all men that by all means some might be saved. Okay, that is marketing. That's yes. Like, I'm going to reach this group and this group and that, and I'm going to communicate differently, not changing the word, but changing the voice.
Exactly. Changing, being relevant to that target audience.
That's right.
In a way that's going to connect with them emotionally.
Yes.
With the substance. and also the character and the integrity of the person delivering the message. Which leads to, you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's do that. You want to do it?
Let's talk about being persuasive.
Okay.
You know, that's the thing about Jesus. He was simply irresistible in his persuasive conversation. And I look at marketing through the lens of what Aristotle wrote 2,500 years ago.
Okay.
And he wrote something called the Principles of Rhetoric. Now, the rhetoric in the classical meaning, of course, we've just gone through a political season. Let's put that rhetoric aside, so to
speak.
The real meaning of rhetoric is persuasion.
Okay.
And ultimately, we need to be persuasive. Jesus was incredibly persuasive. Paul was persuasive in how he communicated.
Yes.
We need to be persuasive. How do we be persuasive? And what Aristotle wrote was brilliant. He said three things have to be present to be persuasive. You have to have logos, pathos, and ethos.
Yes.
Logos, of course, is the word. That's the substance of your communication.
Yes.
Pathos is the emotional appeal. The reality is we have to appeal to the heart before we appeal to the mind.
Yes.
That's the thing, whether it's a principle of God or it's a purchasing decision, right? If you don't appeal to the heart, you're not going to have the person make the move. And they obviously back it up with reason. You have to have the substance still there. It has to be backed up. But the third element is ethos. That's the integrity, the character of the person delivering the message. If that isn't there, then nobody's listening. Doesn't matter how emotionally appealing it is or how much substance there is, it doesn't work.
That's right.
And in fact, you know, that's where I think some politicians sometimes lose. They may be a brilliant politician. They may have a brilliant substance in what they have to say, but if they've lost character or they've lost integrity, nobody's listening to them anymore.
One of the things I like to say is this, is the ministry that you respect is the ministry that changes your life. That's one of the reasons that Billy Graham has such profound influence. You know what? He's been in ministry for, you know, decades and decades, and he just has avoided scandal. He just has. He's
exactly.
lived a life, and everybody respects him.
And therefore, they're going to listen.
That's
so
exactly.
it starts there.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing was, we tend to lead with logos. We tend to lead with substance. And
yes.
I see that all the time in marketing. I see companies lead with, oh, here's the substance of what we do, but there's no emotional appeal. So it doesn't move people. And of course, Jesus demonstrated this perfectly. That's why he was ultimately so persuasive, because it starts with ethos, the character and integrity of the person delivering the message, right?
Wow.
So he's God. So therefore, he has perfect character,
that's exactly
perfect
right.
integrity.
Yes.
Then the next element is pathos. Mm. And pathos is the emotional appeal. And it's always interesting how Jesus approached people and he connected to them emotionally and he connected to them relationally first.
That's right.
Before he delivered the message. He connected to that woman at the well.
Yes.
And then he went into who he was. He didn't start, well, this is who I am.
Yes.
No, he connected to that woman first.
Well, that's because—
And then there was the substance.
Yeah.
So that's important to get that order right. And whether it's in marketing, it's delivering a message, our gospel message, whether it's in our going on a mission trip, you got to connect with people first and before you start delivering the gospel.
That's because everything in the kingdom is relational before it's functional.
Yeah.
And that's not the way that's been in church, but that's the way it is in the kingdom. And while that's not normal for church, it's absolutely normal Christianity to connect with people, to love people first, right on.
Yeah.
And then transformation comes through the deliverance through the actual relationship. One of the things, Andrew, I tell everybody, and I mean, here I am, a senior pastor of a large, growing, thriving church, and I tell everybody, listen, guys, God doesn't move through a church service. Everybody's like, what? I'm like, no, he doesn't. God moves through the relationships of the people within the church service. And everybody's like, wow. So if we don't love each other, you know, one of my core 16 values and principles is that unity makes us a conduit for God's power.
And in fact, I would add one thing to that. God's power comes from his unity, because he's a God in three persons. And I always find it remarkable. He is relational within himself between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's where power comes from.
And by the way, he's really happy with himself.
They get on very well, don't they?
They do. He is profoundly confident. Okay, well, listen, we're going to continue this. I just got about 30 seconds before we take the next break. And my friends, you're listening to me. I'm a little bit hoarse today, and I'm sorry about that. Man, dadgum Texas allergies that just attack us out here sometimes crazy cool. But guys, look, you're listening to Troy Brewer and to Andrew Szabo, and we are here in the studios at Open Door Church. You're actually hearing a podcast that we place on troybrewer.com, and then we air on Experiencing Real Life on Fridays. Now, whenever we return, we're going to continue talking about the marketing genius of Jesus.
Are you interested in having more access to Pastor Troy's content? Do you ever wish you could watch his conferences again? Are you someone who loves exclusive content? Well, troybrewer.tv is exactly that. At troybrewer.tv, you can see all of Pastor Troy's exclusive content, podcasts, conferences, and so much more. Be sure to drop by and see everything troybrewer.tv has to offer you.
Well, okay, I'm back. And hello, everybody. Blessings and peace on you in here with my good friend. How are you, Andrew?
Excellent.
You know what?
Go ahead. I was going to say this. Yeah, I love it too.
I do too. I love this. I love the talks that you and I have together. And this is good stuff. And you know what? One of the things that happened whenever I got saved is God made me a gifted learner. Amen. And that's part of the faith package. I truly believe that everybody, as soon as you come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, part of your faith package is you become a gifted learner.
Wasn't that the meaning of a disciple too?
Yeah, partly? It is.
You're constantly learning. I mean, you saw that with the disciples, that they were constantly learning. Paul was constantly learning.
Oh, we are. You know, we were talking about the power of persuasion, and I was thinking about, there was a guy that actually said to Paul, he said, you almost even persuade me. Do you remember that? He's like, you're so persuasive. I mean, you have such a compelling argument. I mean, I don't know how anybody can even argue with you. You're so convinced. And I think it's a big part of us being able to actually communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ is how passionate we are about Jesus and show the transformation that's happening within us.
And of course, Paul was amazingly transformed.
Yes, he was.
So he had integrity when delivering the message.
Yes.
I was here and then my eyes were opened.
That's right.
And he also connected at an emotional level with people, because in that relevancy with different audiences. And then, of course, being a very learned man, he had the content, he had the words, he knew exactly what was going to be relevant, persuasive, had the logos, pathos, ethos, or other way around, ethos, pathos, logos.
Okay, whenever we're talking about that, okay, those three, you and I was talking about this earlier. It's actually, we're talking about the written word, the spoken word, and the living word.
Yeah, that's exact. So which is which? So obviously the written word is logos.
That's right.
Pathos is?
Yeah, I would say pathos is the spoken word.
The spoken word.
And then ethos
is the living word.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Aristotle didn't have a clue about any of that. You know,
it's amazing God can use even a Greek philosopher
to
give us a framework to look at.
Well, it's just principles.
Principles are immutable.
Yeah,
principles
exactly
come
right
from God.
Because
they're immutable.
That's exactly right. And he was discovering something that God Almighty had
already
mapped out.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. I totally love that. Okay, so we're talking about the importance of being able to communicate to the right kind of word to the right group of people. And my language for this is the difference between the word of God and the voices of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, many of us in hardline denominations and many of us in hardline non-denominations, we get a certain voice and we say, this is the voice of God. Well, but that voice doesn't work with this group or that group. And the word of God says in Psalms 29, it says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the many waters. So while there's only one word of God, there's a myriad way of delivering the word of God.
Absolutely. And I experienced this firsthand. Last year, I was on a mission trip, and I was going into people's homes.
Okay.
And it was in a very poor country. So what is this, you know, Englishman from America coming into these poor people's homes? What do I have in common with these people? And this is talking about the voices. From the very first meeting I had to the last meeting I had, and I had the privilege of sharing with 45 people, and 40 of them came to the Lord.
Wow.
And that, to me, was a work of the Holy Spirit. No two meetings were the same, because I heard those voices. You know, so I was praying for that as soon as I walked into that first meeting. Okay, God. And I remember a great quote from Bill Bright, you know, the founder of Campus Crusade. He said, he defined effective evangelism is sharing in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God.
Wow.
So sharing in the power of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? That means we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the counselor.
Yes.
And it can give us the words. And it's remarkable how I would connect with those people, first of all, relationally in different ways, and then I would be able to give the word in a way that was relevant to that particular person. Just to give you two or three little quick examples. One guy was the person I was working with. They said, okay, this guy he's very proud, and he thinks he knows all about Jesus of Nazareth and so forth. And so I went in there. I said, you know, one of the things that kept me from Jesus was my pride.
Come on.
And so immediately there was a connection there.
Awesome.
And he was able to listen to me. In another case, it was a woman, and she was actually cooking. She apologized. Said, hey, I may have to get up and stir the pot a little bit. I said, oh, you know, I love to cook too. And it's important to stir the pot to bring out the flavors.
That's
and
good.
In fact, I'm here today just to admit, perhaps sometimes our thinking needs to be stirred up.
That's good.
And our spirit needs to be stirred up. And that all just came from God.
Yes.
Just being attentive and listening and quiet. And he spoke those words
that's good.
Into those people, so I was able to connect. So I think that's one of the ways that God gives us the Holy Spirit. Let's use it.
You know, Paul said, stir up the gift that is within you, that was given to you through the laying on of hands. Amen?
Amen.
No, it's important to stir stuff up. Well, no, that's good. Okay, so now what you're doing is whenever you partner with the Holy Spirit, one of the things that I recognize about the Holy Spirit is he's so creative.
Yes.
And he has there is no end to his creativity. And whenever we come in with a regimen of a method, and we say this is what it's going to be, this is how I'm going to do it, rather than this is the word I'm going to deliver, and this is the heart of Jesus that I'm going to demonstrate. Whenever we partner with the Holy Spirit in the latter way, whenever we do that, He starts bringing us all this amazing creativity.
Yeah, in fact, that was one of the things I wrote, and every day I was writing in my journal about the creativity of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And he was taking me places I could never imagine, all because of that creativity. And that's the nature of God.
It is.
He is the creator. We are created in his image.
That's right.
So we are by design designed to be creative. Well, where does that creativity come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But we have to listen.
That's right. No, we do.
We have to listen to the voices.
We do. You know what? If we're going to hear the still small voice of God, our heart has to be still and small enough.
Yeah.
Right on, to be able to hear that. Well, I just got about 20 seconds left here. Brother, how do people find you? How do people do that?
TheMarketingChef.com.
Okay.
TheMarketingChef.com. Or you can also Google The Marketing Chef, and you'll find me in all kinds of different places.
Okay. Well, I can hear my music, and here comes the great big drum beat. It's about to start like right now. Here it comes, and boom. All right, my friends, well, you have been listening to a podcast that we're recording here at Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. And I encourage you to go to troybrewer.com, and you can listen to this in its entirety and many more. interesting friends of mine from all over the world that we talk and we love each other. We love Jesus, and we're all sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in different ways. And I encourage you again, just go to the podcasts that are located at troybrewer.com. While you're at troybrewer.com, you can sign up for my free daily devotional and a prophetic directive that comes to your email box every single day. Very simple. All you got to do is sign up for it. It's free. So troybrewer.com is kind of Grand Central Station for all things of all of our ministries. You can also sign up for troybrewer.tv, which, you know, if you go there and if you subscribe to that, you get all of my videos, which includes all of my conferences. It includes all my School of Ministry, all my School of Prophecy, all of my exclusive content, and then videos from my pulpit right here at Open Door Church. And then, you know what? Whenever you subscribe to that, you're actually partnering with me to help me save girls out of sex trafficking and sexual abuse all over the world. We actually have a team of people that is in India right now helping us purchase and liberate 5 more women right now. That's happening. Last year, guys, we were able to save 67 women out of the horrors of sex trafficking because of all the people who decided to partner with us. So go there and see what's right for you. Go to troybrewer.com. Check out troybrewer.tv. Guys, continue to remember to pray for me. And my friends, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Blessings and peace on you in Jesus' mighty name. You know, some people, whenever they're young, they wish they were old. And whenever they're old, they wish they were young. And when they don't have kids, they wish they did. And when they do have kids, they wish they didn't. And whenever their kids are little, they wish they'd grow up and get out of the house. And then when they get out of the house, they wish that their kids were back. Oh my gosh, they lived their entire life out of timing. Hello, everybody. My name is Troy Brewer, and I'm the senior pastor here at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. And all through the month of February, my teaching series is called Timelines. Now, we're going to be talking about how do we get into perfect sync with God's heart towards us today. I would like to invite you and yours to come out and join us live if you live here locally, or online if you live somewhere else in the world, by simply going to opendoorexperience.com. We have a 9 o'clock service and we have an 11 o'clock service, and I want to encourage you to be on time for my new series that's called Timelines. It's God's perfect timing for you.